Are you ready for the word this morning? Let's lift our hands together. Let's say this. Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive revelation of your word in accuracy and precision. Our hearts are purified to receive your word in purity. Therefore, in this service, we believe and receive that we have wisdom. We have direction. We have wisdom. We have direction. We have wisdom. We have direction. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, is glorified as we are edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28, we're continuing from last week. I didn't plan to again. The building blocks of effective and healthy relationships. How many of you got blessed by that last week? Let me see your hands. So we'll continue today because God wants us to have healthy relationships. Praise the Lord. Amen. In family, friends, associate, ministry. And I'm working on it too. Amen. I'm working on getting good relationships. I'm working on, you know, being there with my friends, being there for my friends, those we work together in ministry. Just, I mean, you know, we all get to have to act on the word. Sometimes you preach the word so well, and that means you have to act on the word so well too. Amen. So there's no excuse. I mean, so it's not automatic because you preach something that you're automatically going to find it easy. You've got to act on the word. Is that clear? You've got to act on the word. It's not good enough to hear about it and preach it. You've got to act on the word. Amen. Say, I act on the word. I do the word. Very good. All right, Matthew's Gospel 28. So throughout the services today, we'll be doing that. Matthew's Gospel and 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, verse 18, saying, all authority, which is the word power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's the word age. Amen. Now, obviously, he gives them what you call the Great Commission there. And he says to go and make disciples. Now, to make disciples is to make people learn. Now, people will learn in two ways from you. They will learn by precept, that is by teaching. Okay? That's why in 20, he says, didasco, teaching them to observe what things I have commanded you. So people will learn from you by you teaching, but they also learn from you by your example. So discipleship is by teaching and by example. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, for example, It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. I remember I had to teach on this text in 1994 at a youth meeting. So they were all excited, let no man despise thy youth. I said, he didn't stop there. He said, be an example. And I said to them, he didn't say be an example to the youth. Be an example to all believers. That means it is possible for you as a young man and young woman to be an example to all believers. Be thou an example. The word tupos. Be a pattern that we can follow. Why is that so? Because Jesus said the same thing. First, John's Gospel 13. John's Gospel 13. Where he washed their feet. Interestingly, that has been converted into feet washing services today. Totally aside from what he was saying. Now, when he washed their feet, remember Peter was saying, don't do it, Lord, you are the master, I'm the student. He says, no, if I don't wash you, you're not part of me. That is, if I don't wash you by my word, you're not part of me. But then, when he was done doing that, in verse 14, if I then your Lord and master, there's teacher, I've washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Hypodegma is the Greek word there. Hypodegma. I've shown you a pattern to follow. In other words, discipleship is precept and by example. Paul will say, follow me. 1 Corinthians 4:16. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow me. So we're meant to imitate God. Mimetos in the Greek. Ephesians 5:1. Be followers of God as their children. We're also meant to imitate one another. So which means, you and I, we're going to see that shortly, are meant to be God's model. Model father, model husband, alright, model brother, we're going to see that in a moment. So, you ought to, discipleship is by teaching and also by example. So, he has asked them to go and make examples of all nations. Be an example, sorry, for all nations. Be the model. See, I'm a model. I'm not saying you're modeling for toothpaste or ice cream or something. You know, there was a guy like that. He used to be a friend's friend. So he did a model competition, sorry, a model advertisement for a telephone company. I mean, the GSM company. But he had another, I think he did, I don't want to mention the one. But he was in a phone, another network provider. So I said, you told us that this is the best. I almost gave out that phrase. I said, it's for money. So he was modeling for another telecoms company. He was in another line. That's not the right model. Praise the Lord. Be an example of the believers. I'm an example of the believers. All right. So Mark's gospel. So discipleship is by precept, that is teaching, and by example, both ways. Both ways. By precept and by example. Mark's gospel 16. Are you in church? All right. And 15. Then he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. All right. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. This 19 says, soon after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So the believer is a missionary. So I'm a missionary. Which means you are, that's a book we're getting out in a couple of weeks, The Christian Missionary. The believer is a missionary. The life of the believer is like that of a pilgrim. You're called to keep going. You're called to keep going. The Great Commission is not a great suggestion. It's an instruction. So you and I are called by God to keep going, to keep getting into people, places, into all the world, and preach the gospel. You know, I told you on Wednesday, that you cannot be in the ministry. I was doing a training during the week, last week, and not for those in this church, but across some denominations, and then they asked me a question. So I was teaching them about ministry, leadership, and then someone asked a question. He said, sir, are you saying that without preaching, one cannot be in the ministry? I said, absolutely yes. I said, Jesus did not begin ministry until he started preaching. Is that right? But was he a good example before he started preaching? But was that the ministry? No. But was a good example for the ministry? Yes. Thank God for good conduct. You must have good conduct. See, I have good conduct. I'm a good example of believers. You must have good conduct. In this world where values are going down, values are, they're out of the door. Everything now is monetized. I remember one day, this is by the way, this is 2015, that's 7 years ago. So we went for a function, myself and some folks. I think you were in the car that day. Why am I sharing this example today? You were in the car that day. There were four. I don't want to tell you the kind of function it was. So we're coming back. Now there was this lady who was working at the airport, here at the local airport here in Lagos. So she found money that belonged to one of the passengers. So she returned the money. Last sum of money. And as people were not talking about the money. So I now watched the conversation across the board. Oh, well, how much are they now going to give out? After she returned, now listen carefully now, assuming she returned $20,000. So what are they now going to give her? Frankly, they should give her nothing. It was not her money. Okay? In a decent society, that shouldn't be an issue. I remember years ago, about, this is 2022, 14 years ago, I was in Singapore for a conference. It was a conference for my company. So I went to with my partner, who was my managing director, I was deputy. So we went for this conference. It was a marketing conference. And so we went to shop, and as we got to the shop, so we were having, I can't remember what happened, but something led to one thing. I think I was sharing with someone, and someone said, and they asked me whether I'm a reverend father. So I said, no, I'm a pastor. Oh, father. So we got off on that note, and I left. And I said, my friend, or my partner, we went to shop. So along the line, we found out we had misplaced about, I'm not sure how much it was, but I think it's either $1,000, $2,000, or $3,000, I can't remember. You know. And so we were trying to say, we're already jittery. And that was even the first thing that happened in that country. Let me go to another issue. As I got into the country, and I was trying to check in, it was a long flight, if you've flown to that part of the world, so we're very tired. So I was really weak. So when I was getting to sign in for the hotel, I had misplaced my passport. So when I misplaced my passport, I was really panicked because that's the kind of trouble. If you misplace your passport in another man's country, I'll be know the implication. So I was trying to look for my passport and all that. So someone suggested I should call the embassy of Nigeria. This is not a good one, but it's I have to say. So I picked the phone and I said, sir, my passport, yeah, what were you doing? Our people. So I said, well, I can't remember. Okay, right there on the phone. So I said, so can I have the address and work? Can you send me, can I give you my email? Said, which email? You better pick your barrel around and start writing the address. And the guy was so rude. You know? And the manager kept saying, we're sorry, sir. We're sorry. I was wondering, sorry about what? I lost the passport. Said, we're very sorry. We're very sorry. So I'm already, in less than 10 minutes, they knocked the hotel room and they said, this is it. We're sorry again. Said, they now checked their CCTV, what my passport at my back of my jeans pocket. So as I got up, it fell into one of the chairs. They said, they are going to ensure that they will seal up the chairs so that nothing, can you imagine? They fell into their fault. But my own people, he harassed me on the phone, you know. So here am I, we were trying to shop. And then we went back, someone told me, said, oh, so go back to the place, and we got there. You know what happened? I'll never forget this part. On the, you know, what do you call, is it reception? Those guys who, the cashier, they had wrapped the money, put it there, and wrote Reverend Father. Now the interesting part was, the lady I spoke with in the morning was not on duty. It was somebody else. Oh, are you Reverend Father? They didn't even try me, tell me to identify myself. So I missed about, so yeah, it's here. And they showed me. Wow. Praise the Lord. They didn't say, so, Oga. Are you just going like that? So when we were at that, we were coming back, myself and some brothers, she was there, interestingly, in the service. I've never shared this story before. And then I said, well, that they ought not to give her anything. By giving you money for being honest, we are monetizing values. I said, what they ought to have done is to put her name on maybe a social studies textbook. on civics. An example of a good citizen. Said that is more honorable than money. Way more honorable than money. How many of you feel proud if your grandfather, remember, you know, someone was saying something. He said they were trying to look at Nigerian missionaries that helped the defense of Nigeria. And then they went on, and then the person was telling me, and I kept quiet. I said, did you check out this name? They mentioned the name. He said, yes. I let the man finish talking. He said, that man, very, very diligent. He fought for the rights of people. He spoke the fact that he was privileged. He did it like that. I smiled. He said, do you know the person? Have you read about him? Have you read the story? In fact, I need to give you the... I kept quiet. He said, that's my great-grandfather. He said, eh? I said, yes. He said, wow. You know, I can't remember anything that came from my great-grandfather, property-wise. I wish I did. But that was something. So I said, a good name is better than silver and gold. So monetizing values. So what returns your money? He wants a court. Here's my money. You should return it. That's normal human value. But then say, what if I spent it? That means you are not honest. Okay? So, you know, how did I get here? What led me to this? Huh? What did you say? Huh? Believe about what? Yeah, good conduct. Yeah. He must. Because he is sent on a mission in the world. Wherever you are. I said, we're in a world where values are degraded. Values are degraded. So, you must be that man who holds the gospel on his lips, on his heart, and in his conduct. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Luke's Gospel 24. In 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. A believer, therefore, is also taught the skill of interpreting the scriptures. Praise the Lord. I told you we don't just quote scriptures, right? We are called to interpret it. Diamenio in the Greek. It means to show the meaning. To show the meaning. And from there you pick up what we call the skill of exegesis. What's exegesis again? The ability to what? Ask good and intelligent questions which interpret what you are reading. So we're called to do that. In verse 44 it says, these are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened ye the understanding that they might understand the scriptures, verse 45, which means to read the scriptures together, soon near me. So which means I have a duty not to like a part of the Bible. I must read all of the Bible. All of the Bible. You mustn't be selective. You must embrace the whole of God's word in the way you interpret it. You read it together, suni ami, to read it together. Not to read one in isolation of the other. We're called to do that. John's Gospel 20 and verse 21. Verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them. I said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins that you retain, he said they are retained. So who remits, or they are remitted unto them. I said that we retain. That's interesting. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So again, God gives us his spirit. Now, notice that 21. God gives us his spirit so we can act in his capacity. God is the one who forgives sins. I'm going to say something again I've said before. And this is why unforgiveness is quite a sin. Now, God is the one who forgives sins. is the one who forgives sins. Exodus 34 and 6. He's the one who forgives sins. Alright? Psalm 103 verse 3. Who heals you of your sicknesses and forgives you of all your iniquities. Isaiah 43, 25. I, Lord, have the Lord who blots out your transgressions. Micah 7, 18. Who pardons your iniquity and transgressions. So it's God who forgives sins. Now, why then does he give us his spirit? Alright? The songwriter says, so that we may reach the world. So he gives us his spirit to reach the world like he's doing it himself. So as if he's doing it himself. So when you are forgiving, listen carefully. When you are forgiving people, what you are simply doing is allowing God to act. Because really, nobody offends you. Sin is against God. It's against you by identification, but sin is against God. So if someone, for example, lies to you, cheats you, or defames you, any other things like that, he's actually doing it to God. And so the one who forgives is God. So why then am I told to forgive? Because you are in his image and his likeness. He gave you his spirit so that he can forgive through you and in your actions. That's why he gave you his spirit. That's why the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, he says, you forgive us our trespasses so that we forgive. Explain that to you. So that we forgive those who trespass against us. So God does it to you, so you do it to others. Now, for example, if someone offends you, and then he says, let me ask you this, and he says, Lord, I receive your forgiveness of sins, right? Because of what I've done. Now, has God forgiven him? Now, what now happens if you refuse to forgive him? You are sinning against God. So unforgiveness, right, is you acting in the flesh. Because don't forget, that fellow has been forgiven. That fellow has the blood of Jesus for forgiveness of sins. So when you refuse to forgive, you are now the one living in sin. Ephesians 4:32, be kind hearted to one another, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. As God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. Forgive as God has forgiven. Chapter 5 verse 1, be ye imitators of God. See that? As their children, walk in love. So, we love because he first loved us. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Whether it's your spouse, whether it's your the flock under your care, whether it's your business partner, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's a fellow brother or sister, whether it's a Muslim, whether it's a Shintoist or an atheist, it makes no difference. Glory to God. See, I've got the nature of God. I've got the life of God. I've got the spirit of God. See, I'm in the kingdom of God. Glory to God. So, you know, we're looking at the building blocks of healthy relationships. And notice that in the four gospels, Jesus oftentimes began teaching from Genesis. So I put it here, and we've done that last week already. I said, Genesis of relationships. What do you see? The Genesis of relationships is that in Genesis 1:26, we were there last week, 2:27, this is your purpose in life. What's God's purpose for my life? What's God's purpose for my life? Then you now go for one seminar. Fulfilling purpose. They say, what is making you angry? What is making you angry? If you want to know what makes me angry, say with me. Yesterday evening, that made me angry. After Middlesbrough, that's how to get purpose. What makes you angry? What makes you angry? How can that be your purpose for living? What's that thing that you're not always comfortable about? That makes you angry. No. This is how to get purpose. God's word. Hallelujah. Let us make man in our likeness. In our image, after our likeness. The word Selem, which means you are in a representative capacity. You are in a representative capacity. You represent God in the earth and the body of believers. I'm going to extend that study. You're a priest of God. Genesis 2:15. To dress and to keep God's sacred place where God dwells. You're God's image. You are to act as You have to act as God's image in His likeness. So, that is your purpose for living. Now, what about my career? Yes, in your career. What about with my talent? Yes, with your talents. What about in my nation? Same thing. You have to act in God's image or as God's image and in His likeness. Last week we began to look at the fact that God made man, because God Himself is, a relational being. To relate. To function in relationships. To have healthy, effective, vital relationships. Glory to God. With family, with friends, and very importantly, among believers. Praise the Lord. You must therefore make it a life pursuit to always have good relationships. Let me say this to you. Your relationship with God cannot be separated from your relationships with men. We're going to see a few things this morning. No, it's not. You can't. I said, well, I just love the Lord. I just want the Lord. I just love the Lord. Well, yeah. But if you are really walking with the Lord, you will have good and healthy relationships with men. So we're going to examine this today. We're going to look at things to watch out for, because I'm going to take this to the third service. And the kind of investments you should make into relationships. Because in relationships you invest. You invest into it. You put time and effort. Praise the Lord. You make it work. You're going to make it work. Why are you praying every day? Because you are investing into that relationship you have with the Lord. Why do you study the Word? It's the same thing. So the same way, in God's word, we have relationships. We're going to look at a couple of relationships now and see what went wrong. Paul said to us that there is no temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that is not common to humanity. No temptation. That is not common to humanity. Hallelujah. You know, one time like that, you know, I'll talk about this in the third service. I was going to say something about ministry. So I called two pastors. So I said I was going to give them a test from another ministry. So I just took a scripture and a story there. And I put it in another way. And I laid it before them. And so when they went out, I told a friend of mine, I said, this is the person that has a real good interest of that church at heart. Because you see, there's nothing new. Sin is just being repackaged. There's no new atheism. Atheism is just being repackaged. There's nothing new about agnosticism. It's just being repackaged. Idol worship is just being repackaged. There's no new sin. Like Brother Hickey would say, there's no new heresy. You see, there's something you are saying that nobody has said before. I'll tell you the story. Some people have said this before. So, Paul says, we must, therefore, say those things were written unto us as examples. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 and 12. Unto who, upon whom the hands of the world are come. So, we read them as examples. So that we do not fall into the same sins. 1 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6, as they did. So, look at this example. First one we want to see, let's keep Adam and Eve. Let's go to Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel are brothers. Now, you can look at brothers from blood brothers' perspective, but you can look at brothers from the fact that we're born again. You can also look at brothers from the fact that we're all human beings. So, on many templates, this story will help us to guard against things that destroy relationships. Now, let me give you a background quickly. Abel, from Genesis 4, that this is Saints Community Church, so I believe you know what I'm about to say. Abel was Abel God's prophet. Very good. Was God's prophet? Was he God's messenger? He was. So which means Abel was a minister of God to Cain. So that means he ought to have a relationship that will be godly and fulfill God's purpose in the earth. And you see, when God sends people your way, they will write it on their heads. They could come in form of your cousins, siblings, neighbors, and what have you. So, this is his blood brother. Now, rather than receive his ministry and be blessed of his ministry, because the Bible says in verse 4, God had respect, Genesis 4, to Abel and to his offering. And then Cain became angry. His countenance, his appearance, his mood changed. Hallelujah. Now, this story is very critical because in John 8:44, Jesus makes use of it in teaching the Pharisees. The Pharisees were his brothers in the natural because they are all from Abraham. That was even the conversation. And the Sadducees. And they were plotting to kill him. So he said, you are of your father the devil. John 8:44. And he used this story. Now, how did the Pharisees get to that point? We're going to see it graduate. 1 John 3. I want us to read. Now, this story is right there. From verse 11 through to 12. It says, for this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Now, I want us to read verse 14 together. Everybody, let's go. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother. Now, the word because, they are putting it into this grammar, so that we love the brethren. So, this is the story. Does it mean we have something to learn from that story? Good. So, you have Abel and Cain. God chose you, didn't choose him. God chose her, didn't choose him. First thing, his mood. His countenance fell. So you need to watch your mood when you are not chosen. When you are not the one being used. Your mood says something about your spiritual life. Your mood when you are not chosen. How many know that God's people are your friends doesn't mean God won't choose them to bless you? Let me see your hand, come on. God can choose to give to your friend what he won't give you. But if you're smart, you know God gave your friend something that should bless you. Let me see your hand, following what I'm saying here. So God gave to Abel what ought to be a relationship booster. But Cain got in the flesh. Why is he the one preaching? Why am I not the one preaching? Why is he the one laying hands? Why is she the one singing? And then the countenance fell. And I call that an entitlement culture. The countenance fell. So check your mood. You will first know it in yourself. Why am I so uncomfortable? Why am I? This ought to be my brother. Naturally, I should celebrate my friend. And see, that thing can happen among friends. And it goes into different parts of our lives. Wondering, you didn't look at the person one kind. See, his countenance fell. It didn't stop there. And God says, what happened to you? Why are you angry? Someone say anger. Say anger. Why are you angry? Imagine God asking, why are you angry? I just found everybody out. Why? You know, your friend. Let's go to the natural. Your friend was promoted at his office. You have been on the same spot. But something happened that you thought you should have. But your friend, your brother, your sibling has it. Your countenance fell. So why are you angry? You didn't answer. If you do well, you will be accepted. If you do not well, sin lies at your door. Unto this have been designed to judge your rule over him. Then he went to talk with Cain, with Abel. While it came to pass, as he went in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. If you go to the four Gospels, this was where it started from. The Pharisees, they first ignored Jesus. Then the crowd started coming. If you don't stop this guy, he will stop us. And he started cooking up lies. Well, it didn't work. They walked at killing him. Jesus, watch that. And God asked him, where is your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? You know, his dad was repentant. He wasn't. Am I my brother's keeper? What's my business? So in relationships, watch out for anger, moods. You're just uncomfortable. And notice that this also boils down to envy. We're going to see that later on. Envy. You know, this is the first manifestation of sin in the Bible. It's the first manifestation of sin you have in the Bible. Yes. You can't lay your hands on Adam and Eve. What did they do? They had fruit. They had tree. But this one is, you can see what it is. Now, listen, write this down. The first manifestation of sin in the Bible is discovered in relationships. So there can be sin outside relationships. You can find sin outside relationships. It's about someone. Some people. So this is the first manifestation of sin in scripture. Am I my brother's keeper? Genesis chapter 9. Noah and his children. Do not forget, Noah was rescued from the flood, himself and family. They went through the ark, everything now settled. They are now delivered. I found out something. That oftentimes, as believers, watch this very well. During our greatest victory moments, shortly after it, is our most vulnerable moments. when you got the greatest accolades, when you have this great victory, those are your most vulnerable moments. I tell that to pastors too. When you have just done a great program, a great meeting, everybody's blessed. That's your most vulnerable moment. You must watch that. Now, he has no, just like David. When Saul was out of his life, he looked for Bathsheba. He was just trying to, now he doesn't have much stress. He's not praying so much like before. So he takes his phone and begins to browse sites. Vulnerable. So, here's Noah. They are out of the ark. God has established his covenant with him. And he had sons. Genesis 9:18. Shem, Ham, Japheth. Ham we call the father of Canaan. Then in verse 20, he began to be an husbandman, a new career. He planted a vineyard. He's the one that got himself the product to get drunk. He drank of the wine and was drunken and was uncovered within the tent. This is very important. He didn't have wars to fight anymore. He didn't have anything to do. So he went to plant a vineyard and he now got drunk. He's a human being. Alright? Weakness. He had that. So what did he do? His son Am saw the father's nakedness and told his two brethren without. Look at the distinction. So here we find the weakness of Noah. Vulnerability. We all do have weak moments. Vulnerable times. We shouldn't if we act on the word of God. But we do. Alright? So here's his son. His son saw his moment of weakness. Just like your friend will see yours. Your spouse. He saw it. And as soon as he saw it, what did he do? He went out and told his two brethren. Now I checked that word told, because I was very particular about it. The word there is nagad. N-A-G-A-D. Let me tell you the significance of that statement. He went to expound it. He went to announce it. He also went to denounce what had happened. That's what he did. Because you see, relationships are meant to cover you. You are supposed to be a cover for your relationship. So I'm a cover. I didn't think I heard you. I'm a cover. Now, there's a difference between cover up and cover. Cover up is to deny. Right? Cover is to ensure that that person is not defeated, does not come down, is not exposed to lose his dignity and identity. So in 1 Peter 4, put your hands in there. Peter tells us in verse 8, love, he says, covers the multitude of sins. Hallelujah. How does he start? He says, let there be fervent love amongst yourselves. Love covers the multitude of sins. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, I'm a cover for my relationships. You're there? You're there to cover. But what did he do? Genesis 9. He went to talk about it. He went to the two other brothers, verse 22, and he explained it. Nagad. Another Hebrew version says, to make it obvious. Your role in relationships is to cover. That's why you are there. You therefore should be a protection for your relationships. Eventually, Noah cursed him And you see why Abraham was chosen. You know, Noah cursed him. Abraham never did that. Proverbs chapter 3. Are you in church? Guys, are you in church? Proverbs 3. And 17. So there is a discretion in relationships. You have sense. See, I have sense. I don't think you heard me. See, I have sense. That means you have discretion. You know, you don't have this kind of conversation outside. Proverbs 3:17. No. Genesis 3:11. Sorry. I got that wrong. Notice that same word naked was in Adam and Eve. The eyes of them both were open and they knew that they were naked. So the concept of naked here, as we have seen it earlier on in a motif, is to show vulnerability, to show weakness, and sin. This will happen to them here. Vulnerability, weakness, and sin. So, what did Adam do? Simply exposed it. Now look at what his brothers did. Genesis 9. Are you in church? In verse 22. 23. Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid upon their shoulders. Look at the symbolic action. And went backwards and covered what? Okay, let's expand it now. Let's expand it to relationships. Covered your friend, spouse, right? Brother in Christ, member of your fellowship, your sheep, alright? And their faces were backwards and they did not see their father's nakedness. Is that significant? You see the difference? They did not see it. Now, they heard about it on first knowledge, but they did not see it. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. And pay attention somewhere. They didn't see it. And their nation benefited from that. We're going to see that as well as we proceed. So you have a responsibility to cover your relationships. I told you last week, I do not entertain the world with my disagreements with my friends. It's not to entertain anybody. You must cover relationships. That's your job. As a pastor, you cannot be talking about your flock to people. People cannot tell you things in confidence and then you're going to tell people. No. That's rubbish. God will not entrust people into your hands if you do that. So they covered it. They covered it up. But they covered it better still. David did the same thing for Saul. Even though, do not forget, in Saul's instance, Saul was even after him. In 2 Samuel 1, eventually when Saul died, he was killed in war, then a guy came to tell the story. I guess the guy got the wrong memo. Verse 2. A man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. So it was when he came to David and he fell to earth and did obeisance. And David said, what is it? Tell me. Said, David said, what went? Said, I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, the people that were fled from the battle, many of them were fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan his son were dead also. David said to the young man, how did you know? Ah! He kept talking. How did you know they died? He said, ah. So it happened to chance upon Mount Gilboa. Behold, Saul leaned upon the spear, and the church and the workmen followed hard after him. When he looked behind, he saw me and called and said, he said, who are you? He said, I am an Amalekite. And he said unto me, stand again, I pray thee upon me, and slay me, for anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet old in me. So I stood, and he went on. David took all his clothes and rent them in verse 11. And they mourned and fasted for Saul and for Jonathan his son, the people. And then he said to the man, whence art thou? Said, I'm the son of a stranger and Amalekite. The guy is quite stupid. And David said unto him, are you not afraid to stretch your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? You see all that in 1 Samuel 24, where David said he had touched the Lord's anointed. He called his young man and said, go and fall upon him. And he smote the man and died. He said, the blood is upon your head. Then look at what David said. In verse 19, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty falling? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon. Let the daughters of Philistines rejoice. Let the daughters of the uncircumcised, he says, triumph. So don't tell it. This is someone who was practically his enemy, sworn enemy. But he respected the relationship he had with him. Because David once served him in his court. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, I'm a cover for my friends. For my relationships. That's who you are. You know, today, we have grown up in the social media world. I was going to read something in the third service. And they identified one of the things that's breaking up marriages the most in the world today. And one of them is the social media. There's a lot of pressure on people. It's like there's a beast of acceptance. You have to let people accept you. It's an emotional delinquency. That people must accept you. Why must people accept you? And so that, you know, they will know I must have talent. Yesterday, I was having my haircut yesterday at the barber shop. And there was this, I've not ever seen it before, this idols thing. African, I think they're singing or something. So, the judge was trying to say something, your voice is not this, your voice is not that. So I told the barber, and I said, look, the truth is this. Many of Nigeria's reigning artists will have failed this place. All these people that are reigning now. You know? They say, you now passed. I'm sure Davido will not make it. Yeah. But you see, did it matter? But when you put your life trying to seek endorsement all over the place, you're going to get into trouble. So, don't sacrifice your relationship because you want endorsement. Is that clear? So learn to cover it. You have a responsibility. Now, covering your friends does not mean you are not going to correct them. But you are not going to make their vulnerability news to the world. Is that clear? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at Abraham and Lot. Abraham and Lot. Genesis 13. The background is that Abraham brought Lot out. Genesis 12. He took Lot. In verse 4, his brother's son. Lot began to grow and grew and grew and grew and grew. Then somehow, Lot's business and Abraham's business. They were supposed to be partners, Abraham and Lot and co. But Lot had his own department, or let's say part of the company. Maybe Abraham was doing the livestock part. Lot was doing the grains. So somehow, the grains were supplying much, livestock were supplying much, so you could see, there was now fighting among their staff. Don't forget, it was Abraham that bought Lot. Are you following what I'm saying? Never forget your history. You hear me? There are people in my life. If I make millions, I don't look into their eyes and make a boast. Because there were times when I was younger that I practically was living on their own finances. You don't forget those kind of things. Except you're a useless human being. No, when you are useless, you are useless. Nobody can help you. You just forget it. Some say it doesn't matter. There was one man. I won't forget this story for the rest of my life. This man, we were doing something together. So we tried to hire, then we were doing transportation of petroleum products. So we hired one of his ships. So something happened. He tried to swindle us or something. I forgot what happened. And the relationship broke down. We now had to suspend the contract we had with him. So one day we were passing through Ikeja. We now saw his car. So I told my partner, I said, well, this is so-and-so person's car. I said, hey, what happened? What's he doing there? So we saw him come out of the car. He had some documents. So this was like 16 years ago. So we now went to the place. I asked him, what's going on? So that he needs to borrow money. That his car is here. And his wife had a steel bath. They want to operate her. So I said, how much did you come here to do? He mentioned the amount. So I looked at my partner and said, let's help him. He had done us bad though. So let's go ahead. So we went ahead. He said, go and take your car documents. He said, he was really overwhelmed. And we were Christians. So we helped him out. So we went back again and said, okay. He said, no, he's going to offer us his boat. We're going to use it. It wasn't free. We then started using his ship. Then suddenly, he changed again. And I said, He said, so? I will never forget this thing. He said, if you not come, God will have sent somebody else. He said, even if you help me, are you God? He had changed. I said, when you are useless, you are useless. How would you say that to people that helped you? How would you, even if you disagree, always keep talking about that help? There are people today, we don't believe the same things. The things I teach and believe are at variance, but I've never stopped talking about the good things they have done. Hallelujah. You know, don't be a useless person. Don't be useless. Did you hear me? Some people have money, but they are useless. Their humanity is useless. Lot forgot. Abraham now said, look, let there be no strife. Hallelujah. She said, no, this one has said no strife here. No, raise your hand. Say, no strife here. Say again, no strife here. Raise your hand. Say, no strife here. In family, among friends, at my workplace, in the church, no strife here. Say, I'm not a useless human being. Put your hands down. We are useless. That's what they are. They just forget. Yoruba have been saying that when a good deed has gone far, right? That a foolish man forgets. When a good deed has been away, just forget. How would you forget your parents? How did you do it? How? I'm now a grown up person. No. Should I have been a grown down person? Nonsense. How? Now I know some people, their parents were exceptional. Exceptional to the rule. Okay, I understand that. But that's not the usual case. Lot. Abraham now said, let there be no strife. Now that word strife is the word Meribah. It now pans through scripture. Provocation. That means don't let there be provocation. You know, you can know when provocation is coming. Just smile. Someone smile, smile, smile. Some of you should learn to smile as Christians. We should be teaching smiling classes. How can a Christian not know how to smile? Maybe it's because of the movie you watched, Jesus of Nazareth, that wasn't smiling. Oh yeah, smile. Do you smile at your friends? Huh? Smile, smile. It's not, don't you know God loves you? That's not it. Smile like a normal human being. And you say you are going to heaven. You are going to hell. Abraham said, let there be no strife, Meribah. From the word provocation. Write these references down. Numbers 27 verse 14. That was what happened to Israel. Numbers 27 14. Psalm 95 verse 8. Deuteronomy 32 verse 51. Numbers 27 14. Psalm 95 verse 8. Deuteronomy 32 verse 51. Those of you, this is personal. You may like it, you may not like it. Those of you who are lawyers, be careful. Because a lawyer is trained to contend. So that you not start contending with your husband and your wife. Some of you are lawyers. Don't bring courtroom to your family. I said, no! Objection, my sweetheart! You know? It's objection, my love. Objection, my love. Objection, my love. You said, and you said, and you said, and I have it on record that you also said, yes, in my house. Say, let there be no strife. We are breaking. He now told him, he said, look, whatever you want, take. You know, what he took was his problem for the rest of his life. That's so dumb. Today, she says Sodomite. Sodom. That was where he was captured. The next chapter, he was captured. 2-3 chapters after, the place was destroyed. Afterwards, his wife became salt. His daughters also got him drunk. That is why when people start arguing about alcohol, we put it in our book. Excuse me, Pastor, I have a question. You can, I teach that alcohol is not a sin. Maybe the smell is. Go and read your Bible very well, though. Two clear examples. Noah, Lot. You see, when people misbehave, and the proverb writer said the same thing. So, you find Lot, it was his eternal problem. That's Sodom. Or Sodom. But Abraham took the highway. Say, I take the highway. Say, I take the highway. He took the high level. He said, you go ahead, take what you want. Let there be no strife. So, I have a responsibility to prevent strife. You know, you can detect it. I say, you know what? Relax, no problem. And I've learned to practice that. And sometimes, it could be amongst those you work with in ministry. Amongst pastors. Amongst fellow leaders. Amongst friends. You just, Sometimes to prevent strife, you'll just be quiet for some time. Some of us can put, I think we should start selling or giving free spiritual padlock. On our lips. So it was our mouth. If you just kept quiet. I don't like this. Must you say it then? You know, sometimes if you delay speech till when it can be well understood, you will achieve something better. Abraham said, take what you want. Let's know whether Abraham was just acting mature. The next chapter, Lot was captured. He said, I said it. Why would they capture him? Greedy boy. Greedy boy. You see? Eh? If you want nonsense, you'll get nonsense. How not to be a Lot? A series. No. When he got into trouble, to show that that relationship was precious, he went to rescue him. Again, when that relationship also became under scrutiny, when Sodom was going to be destroyed, he was the one who prayed. Hallelujah. So does that mean what now? That your relationships will go through tests and trials. Your friends may disappoint you. Like you will also disappoint your friends. But it is your duty to preserve it by preventing strife. Prevent strife. Is that clear? It's your husband. You can sit down with your husband and say, well, we have a rule. Our argument will not be more than 1 hour. We must resolve it. We can't go to bed. You can have such simple rules. They say, we won't go to bed until we resolve the issue. Then you refuse to go to bed. Because you want to win. Say, I'm doing VG. No! Is that clear? The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Have a timeline. Prevent provocation to be angry. Are you there? So Abraham, he took the highway. How you know? At every opportunity that Lot was in trouble, he was there for him. Say, I cover my friends. I prevent strife. Say, I cover my friends. I prevent strife. Anger. Envy. In all my relationships. I celebrate my friends in what God is using them to do. Even if I'm not involved in it. I know it will also be a blessing to me. I keep my relationships healthy and effective. Is that very clear? Bring up your fingers. Raise it up. The day any of them becomes equal, you need a surgery. Right? Raise it up now. The day they become equal, this one just says, hey, miracle. No, it's not a miracle. Put it down. But you know they work together. Right? Okay? So, this will eventually help this, right? But imagine this is fighting this. This will happen, right? Right? But they separate and work together, right? They achieve the best. Is that clear? You're about to say, Ika Odogba. That means your fingers are not equal, but they can work together and achieve great results. Who's following what I'm saying this morning? So there's no reason why you think, oh, he has something. I don't have it. No, he has whatever he has in that relationship has now become a blessing to me. Whatever I have is a blessing to you. You keep your relationships healthy. As you keep growing, you see that God will use you, your friend, your spouse in different ways. And you will learn to appreciate what God is doing through others. Abraham and Sarah, husband and wife. Sarah got to a point, Genesis, when she said, okay, 16, and said, you can have my maid, Hagar. Oh yeah? And Abraham went into Hagar. Whether you like it or not, Abraham fell in love. That's what happened. But look at Genesis 16:4. Hagar now began to despise Sarah. Looked down on her. And she went to Abraham and complained. And Abraham said, it's your maid, you gave me your maid, she's in your hand. Of course, eventually Hagar ran away, she came back. We can go on that. Then, pay attention to Genesis 18. No. Genesis 21. And verse 9. You have here? She began to mock, so the son of Hagar, Ishmael began to mock Isaac. And she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even Isaac. Now, let me see this. Please, look up. Bondwoman doesn't mean second wife. Is that clear? Bondwoman means slave. So this has been used to chase away second wives. That's the word. She was not his wife. Is that clear? Aha, that's important to clear that. So cast out this bondwoman because she's from Egypt, okay? That represents the world and the flesh. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. So he had to listen. And God said to him, Abraham, hearken to her voice. In 12. Hearken to her voice. That's interesting because Abraham should be the authority figure. But God is telling Abraham to listen to his wife. Sarah is an obedient wife. Don't forget, 1 Peter 3 verse 6. Says she called Abraham Lord. But at that point, to preserve that relationship, of course, and the will of God in the earth, he says to him, listen to your wife. So what does that mean? Look at my guys. It means in relations, no matter who you are, you can be pastor, husband, leader, be led by the Spirit of God. Is that clear? Be led by the Spirit of God. There are things that God will say, listen to your son. Is that clear? Who's following what I'm saying this morning? Listen to your son. I raised him up. Listen to your son. The times you want this decision as a pastor, God will have you listen to your pastors. Your pastors that you're training. So you listen to them. So in relationships, you must know how to be led by the Spirit of God. If Abraham was a Nigerian man, an African man, he didn't want to walk into what? Whether I am the husband, we will know today. Who will know today? No. You can be led by the Spirit of God. And God will tell you how to get counsel in that instance. So we must be led. Be led by the Spirit of God. As touching your relationship. God will lead you to. You know, God said listen to her. And that statement she made, cast out the bondwoman, in Galatians 4. It became scripture. She was actually speaking for God. Glory to God. Remember we said, God will bring people your way, that he will put things in their lives that you need. So, was God speaking to Abraham through Sarah? Huh? Come on. That's not cultural. Because in their culture, it's the wife that submits absolutely to the husband. But God reversed that culture. And so you must honor relationships in your life. As you are led by the Spirit of God, you will see, you know, the blessedness of relationships. And you'll say, listen to this person. Listen to your children can be led by can be used by God to speak to you. Your staff. Members of your fellowship that you teach every day. Your disciples. Is that clear? Is that clear, guys? Very good. So you know how to treat such relationships. Say, listen to her. For God said, what she said was God's word. Let's see Jacob and Esau. Brothers. Again, God chose Jacob, not Esau. That comes back again. So we must learn to deal with God using our brothers and not us. God used Jacob, his second child. Esau is first. Same pattern has come back to us, just like Genesis 4. The only difference was that eventually Esau didn't kill Jacob. But he had the same hatred, envy, ill feeling. One thing now happened, he became competitive. And look at this. In Genesis 32:33, when they met in verse 9, he said, I have enough. Of course, the first thing that don't forget in Genesis 26 to 27 now, he had no respect for the firstborn right. He said, what is it to me? I don't care whatever the firstborn right was. But here, he had gotten to a point. He was wealthier, more comfortable than Jacob. He said, I don't need it, I have enough. So you must preserve your relationships by avoiding competition. Competition. You want to have, and you know, some of us, when we, on Saturdays when we go for our friend's wedding, you start to text your fiancé or whatever. What are we doing? You are trying to compete. You see, you can't live your life that way. Write this down. Competition, no, they finish. Did you hear me? You didn't hear what I just said? Competition, no, they finish. So you will live your life that way. And human beings are interesting. They celebrate the next reigning person. Huh? They do. They will just move over. So if you live your life that way, you'll be in trouble. Don't compete with your friends. What did I say? Don't compete with relationships. Don't compete with friends. Don't do it. Quickly, Joseph and his brothers. Have you noticed this has been consistent? Joseph and his brothers. Let's see a bit of that. Genesis 37. Joseph and his brothers. What's going on here again? Yet again, verse 3. God chose Joseph. Is this consistent for us? When it is not me, there's trouble. The way it is not you. I told you, it's a spirit of entitlement culture. It has to be me. Why? When it is not you, Cain. When it is not you, Esau. When it is not you, Joseph's brothers. Watch this. In verse 4, when his brothers saw that the father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Immediately their conversation changed. Rather than say, Joseph, say, hey, you. Ah, don't you know his name? Jay, whatever. I want to, sorry, can I have, smile now. Are you crazy? Smile to who? What am I trying to do? Something is wrong. You're feeling. Brother Hagin says, the moment you feel you are being mistreated, Satan is working on you. He didn't treat me well. I'm number 3 child now. Why should I not be doing? With all this, I've worked in this place for long. You know, that's the elder brother of the prodigal son. You've not given me even something to pray. I've been with you all my life. And so, he became aggressive. Good morning. Morning. How's work today? Do I work for you? Something is wrong. Something is wrong. And the funny person, the same person will not go outside the room. Someone say, how was work? Somebody else says, I was fine, thank you. They were not speaking peaceably with them anymore, with him. He didn't stop. The guy too did not stop, he kept dreaming. He dreamed a dream. He didn't give himself the dream God gave him. They hated him yet the more. Chapter 37 again. Verse 11. His brethren envied him. They envied him. Strong word. Qanah in the Hebrew. Q-A-N-A-H. It means to want to possess what you have, to wish you had what the other person had. They didn't stop there. They planned to kill him. Look up, guys. Drop your pen. You will become a beast when you don't control your emotions. Don't think this is beyond you. If you let that mood become anger, envy, jealousy, hatred, you will want the person destroyed. It is the natural consequence. You can't start fire, tell it not to burn. Are you following what I'm saying? So if you don't want to murder people, whether in your heart or with your words, start with your emotions. And don't just say it when the person is there. When you are in your room, lock up your room and say, I thank God for Bode's life. Father, I thank you are using him. I receive the gift of God upon his life. Oh, I thank you for his promotion at work. I'm giving you praise for his family. You know, begin to, it's not to write on Facebook. No, that one is for the world, entertainment, right? It's not Facebook matter. It's not to be going on Instagram and be lying. No, you are lying. This one is when you are alone. You know, when you are alone, you know the kind of demons are in you. You don't know? Eh? You now be seeing manifestation. You now say, who should I call that I can gossip with? Ah, this one will be so talking word. You know, how are you today? I'm not really fine. I saw you there. You're not feeling fine in church. Yes, now. I mean, of course, you know, pastor just taught us about relationship. I didn't want to feel like, but you know, I wasn't really feeling good. What happened? Is that a matter? Is that same matter? It's not a full matter. When we see, we talk about it. You now travel. And you go and transfer your demon to somebody's house. Is that talking? So you are pouring your heart. What's in your heart that you are pouring? You are pouring your heart. So if you don't want to become a beast, like I was saying, Absalom, I don't think he was a bad guy. But when David, when his sister was raped, he got angry. Then David, the father, did nothing about it. He didn't go and meet his father, Daddy. What happened? This happened to my sister. Nothing. David did nothing. He waited 2 years and he plotted the death of him. In 2 years, you can be a beast and you are smiling. Inside your heart, you are already thinking evil things. That's why I said, you will know the demons that when you are alone, that the kind of thoughts that run through your head, the kind of things that you wish will happen to people, the kind of things that you start casting out the demon from you. Lay your hand on your head. Out! Out! Strange spirit! I'm telling you the truth! And they wanted to kill him. You know, if it was one person, they had a congregational meeting and planned to bring somebody down. All of them had their grievances. That day, remember now, when he took my pop off, say, yes, I saw it. I was looking at you. Why didn't you slap him? No, now, if I remember the other day like that, hey, that's how he sat at the owner's corner. I changed his diapers. Oh, you diapers. I was the one that took him out of his mother. Oh, God. This boy is a stupid boy. So they formed a church. Anti-Joseph International Community. You can have ministers like that. I told one guy, I said, every time you come around my house, you're always talking about men of God. Don't you have something to talk about? Please don't do that here. You stop coming. Stop coming. They don't stop this. Can't you talk about the word? And when you want to talk about the word, you won't say anything. No entry. So, you watch it. Is that clear? Watch your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Don't just celebrate your friend. I'll close here. Don't just celebrate your friends openly. Openly. Mm-mm. Do it privately. Is that private one that matters? Because that is when you are with your emotions. You are there battling different things. Say, I thank God. How your prayer life. Do you know I discovered something? If you sincerely pray for people and look at me, not just in tongues can cover up your mind.
You're in your mind, you're saying, weary, weary. God punish you. As you are praying in tongues, you say, Father, I pray for so and so person. What are you doing? You are renewing your mind. That his life will continually be a blessing to the body of Christ. There was a preacher like that. You know, the guy had made mockery of our ministry. He even said to people, so there was not a problem in their ministry. And what did I do? The first thing I did. So the first thing in your mind will be, if somebody gave me an information, I said, don't send this information to me again. If I felt I would rejoice over it, I said, don't do it again. Just it was the time I was fasting. So that whole night, I just prayed for their ministry. I came to our pastor, I said, this church, this ministry, nothing must happen to them. We are going to pray. I sent him a message. I said, I know you don't like me, I also don't like you. So I don't dig your ministry, I don't dig your style of ministry, but I know God has called you. And I'm telling you this in this hour, we are with you, and we are praying for you. You know how I did that? I dealt with it personally. Because if you don't do it personally, you're just going on stage and say, we walk in love. And you had to I say, we walk in love. It's what you say personally in your heart. And with your friends, guard your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23. For out of it are the issues of life. Be blessed. Stand to your feet. Bless the Lord. Down in my heart.